Skyline.
Ooh. Mm. Exclusive.
Hello and welcome to another Team Profile and Projection here on Talking Baseball. We're bringing you an episode a day, every day until opening day. So if you've been enjoying them, please subscribe to the channel. That helps us out. And we've got more coming today. We're talking about your Cincinnati Reds, who you guys voted as the 18th best team. 16th. I got it wrong. The Reds had a flash start. Votto came back from injury and he said, can I hang with all these kids? I only want to play if I deserve it. And they're like, yeah, okay, man, you're going to play. But he's not playing anymore, Jake. And tell him who else is and is not playing.
James, they actually made some significant moves in free agency. They got it done early and often. Emilio and his pagan ways to be in the bullpen. Nick Martinez flipping back and forth. Probably the swing man for them. Frankie Montas. Mm. Gonna get his look in that Reds rotation. And Jamer Candelario. I mean, one of the sneaky hitter free agents on a team that we thought was good with all of their infield hitting. They added him, along with Brent Suter, who had a nice year in the Colorado bullpen. You don't hear that a lot. A couple minor league invite guys who they lost. They had some of those waiver defectees from the end of the year. I don't know how much they're going to be missing Bader and Renfro. The Nick Senzel hive finally comes to an end in Cincinnati. And then a couple bodies here and there. Chase and Shreve, sure. Will Myers, that contract didn't really work out for them. And like you said, Joey Votto, a staple Hall of Famer, looks like he's done in the city of sin. But Trev, I think the lineup, if anything, speaks to you. I think you're looking and you're a liking.
I'm confused. I don't know what the lineup's going to look like. I feel like they have too many players for the lineup, but I'll try to do my best here. We got TJ Friedl out there in center field doing his thing. Matt McClain probably going to be at second base. Spencer Steer is going to be in the outfield now because they signed Jamer Candelario, who's going to be, I think, at first base, maybe at third base. He's going to play both of those. Jonathan India, where is he going to play? He might play first base. Eddie De La Cruz is most likely going to play shortstop again. Marte at third base if Candelario's not playing there. Will Benson, who came on strong, he's going to be in the outfield somewhere. And Tyler Stevenson, who just said, I think I could be the best catcher in baseball. Mm. He'll be behind the dish. On the bench, Encarnacion Strand, Stuart Fairchild, Luke Maley. I got that right?
Crushed it.
They have a lot of guys here who could be starters and kind of a weird little infield mix. So one of the things we'll probably be talking about is one of these guys going to get traded before the season? We don't know. But they have some players in the lineup. Young, very young team. What about that pitching staff, though, James?
They got some names that everyone likes. Hunter Green, fastball much? Graham Ashcraft. He had a Jekyll and Hyde year last year, and so did the next guy, Andrew Abbott. And then you got Frankie Montas. They paid him a ton of money. Weird signing. Nick Lodolo battling it out for the fifth rotation spot. I think he showed up to camp. He's recovering from something.
Out of shape?
No, he's recovering from something. It says his leg's pain-free, but going lightly. So I don't know. Nick Martinez also might be in the mix. Brandon Williamson actually got the second most starts for the Reds last year, I believe. He's there in the bullpen. They got Alexis Diaz, Emilio Pagan, some are saying the best bullpen pickup of the offseason. Strike that, reverse it. Lucas Sims, Sam Mall. I mean, Mall, Maley, Fraley, Molly. And then Ian Gebout.
No, it's Jabot. Love that one.
Gebout.
Yeah.
Ion Gebout.
That's right. You crushed it.
Yeah. Jake, you're hot on the Reds. You want to start us off?
I am hot on these Reds, Jim. Sometimes I get frustrated with us when we relate stuff to Yankee stuff, but that's what we know. And I watched one of the worst hitting Yankees teams I've ever seen in my lifetime last year because they had about three hitters. This Reds team is coming into this season with about 11. They had They had four guys with 800. OPS is over 800. And none of those guys are Ellie De La Cruz, are Jonathan India, are Noel V. Marte. So, like, the guys that you either knew or you found out about that are going to click, like, Spencer Steer, TJ Friedel, Matt McLean, and Will Benson, our guy, those guys went off last year. Like, big boy seasons that has really opened up a window that we've come a long way from the Cincinnati Reds pooping in trucks to now. This is a team that's filled with a lot of hope, especially in the lineup. And it will be interesting to see, are they going to pull the trigger on a potential transaction with that lineup depth? And you'd assume that they'd be attacking pitching, whether that's in the bullpen or the rotation. But lineup-wise, I do think, man, I love the Jamer signing. Like, looking at this crop of free agent hitters, he's sneaky. You know, we still don't know what those other guys are going to go for, but I think value-wise, I love where he landed, that this lineup is going to figure something out. And I like that. Like, I don't know. I don't know how many teams I've said that about up until this point. The pitching, I think there's, you can have your question marks, and that's fair.
To me, this is the all-depth team. We talked about that before the show started. I mean, they have a ton of infielders and just position players in general. We just mentioned that as I went over the lineup. So we'll see what kind of move they're going to be making. I think they like the depth. There's some quotes here by Crawl, the GM. Last year he said, or when they signed Candelara, this is what he said. Because everyone's like, why did you sign him? You have all these infielders, especially corner guys that can play. He goes, if you look at our infield, Christian missed the first part of the year in AAA with an injury. Ellie missed the first part of the year. India got hurt. McClay missed the last part of the year, and Marte is hurt now. So, like, he's thinking about, we used 17 starting pitchers last year because we guys got hurt. A bunch of our infielders got hurt. So he's just saying we need bodies, and not only just bodies, but, you know, above average Major League Baseball players. I know these guys are young, but that's kind of what they are. I'll give that to them. So this is like a test of depth, I guess, for the Reds. And they could soar this year. They really, really could. Like, if everything clicks and these guys are who they think they are, like, these guys have been, like, big-time MLB prospects. Now they've graduated. They're at the big league level. Like, if they are who they are, or even, let's just say 70% of the guys are who they are, this could be a very dangerous lineup. I think the pitching staff is where we've seen a lot of up and down, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, you know, good half, bad half type situations. But, there's enough depth there where, you know, they got that guy Rhett Lauder just sitting in the wings at, you know, in high A right now. Would it be a shock to you if that guy came up at some point this year and was just a stud? Like, they have some pieces. It's going to be a very, very fun year in Cincinnati, and I do love Skyline Chili.
You do, huh?
I do.
Yeah, I guess I tend to be, like, gotta prove it first of a person.
Yeah.
Glass half empty. No, I don't think I'm glass half empty, but I think I'm just, like, more safe in my, like, none of these guys have proved.
There's nothing wrong with that, James.
That they
nothing wrong
have,
with
like, besides Jamer, that they're, like, you know, studs for every season, you know?
They're young.
Yeah.
They're all very young.
Yeah, and it's much more common to take a step back than a step forward. So I'm not on the hype train of, like, all of these guys are going to take a step forward and it's going to work out. Like, I don't know. The math never works out on that. And I don't know. I don't even understand the offensive profile of the team, to be honest. They all seem like the same guy to me.
What if I told you they were first in stolen bases last year?
I like that. It's usually the sign of a desperate, like, kind of like nothing else going team.
10th in OPS.
I like that, too.
So that's where I understand what you're saying, and I think even if, like, Trev just threw out a... We're,
say 10th.
Sometimes we... 10th in OPS. So, like, if, you know, we... if half these guys... Half. And I don't know. I think there's a little bit of a Cincinnati Reds effect here that, like, if TJ Friedel was on the Mets, like, I think we'd be like, wow, that guy's a really good ball player. Like, you got to see TJ Friedel. He's a pest.
Well, these guys get so far. We had such an Ellie De La Cruz, freaking hype train last year.
You know,
I'll
just sum it up. I'll just sum it up real quick. The Hunter Green and the Ellie De La Cruz hype train revolted me. And now I'm off on the Reds because of that reaction from those two guys. I'll be honest. But I bah humbug the look how hard this guy throws a ball. And I'm like, well, that doesn't mean much, guys. And those two guys were like the faces of it last year. So that is why I just dissected it. That's why I'm sour on the Reds. It's because I don't like when they just brag about throwing a ball fast.
Well, you're talking to the number one guy that fought the Ellie De La Cruz All-Star game. That was probably my biggest Napoleon moments of last year because I was like, what are we talking about? This guy hasn't done anything, and he's getting outplayed by short king Matt McClain. Like, if you want to talk about a Red getting to the All-Star game, talk about Matt McClain, because what he did last year was awesome. And that's where, I mean, I guess that's my spin zone, is that for the lineup, I'm looking at Ellie De La Cruz and Noelvi Marte, probably the two biggest prospects in the lineup, of like, those are bonus chips. If that comes
Are they going to play? Is Marte going to play?
I think they're going to play that guy. They're all about
that
guy.
But then who's the odd man out? It's like,
I think injuries are going to come into play, like it happens with literally every team. And then you probably will see a trade at some point. But I don't think they have to rush that. If that's before the season, if something comes up in spring, like if the season starts going and they start feeling it, then you can make that move. But Trev, you talked about the depth, and again, these are projections. They are what they are. But right now it has Encarnacion Strand on the bench. He's projected for 22 homers and 434 plate appearances. Jake Fraley, who's bounced around a little bit, he's projected for a casual 17-17, like, in 448 games. That go look around for lefty corner outfielders. It gets thinner than you think. That I could see one of those guys moving the needle for a team. That this team has the depth like you're talking about, that whenever the move needs to be presented, they can go. That for me, I see the offense as the names that people get distracted by. Those are bonus pieces. If those click in, this is an offense that was, you know, in a lot of ways a top 10 offense in baseball last year, with a ton of young guys that has a potential to go up if a few more of those click, even if a couple come down. The pitching, it's a very interesting conversation because they finished 82-80 last year with the 28th starting pitcher ERA. So I get what you're saying with some Hunter Green fatigue, because it's like, hey, like, let's get some performance. But sometimes it takes a little bit for a young pitcher to click. And if him or Lodolo or one of those guys does click this year, that can make this a 90-win team almost easily.
Yeah, I do want to say I don't dislike Hunter Green or Ellie De La Cruz. I dislike that the fan, that everyone was bragging about a skill set that I don't think is relatively worth the hype it got. Like, if Hunter Green can change his four-seam to a two-seam and mix it with a slider and a change, I think he's going to be a fucking awesome. But as it stands, his pitch mix isn't that good right now. Don't care how far fast you throw your fastball when it's that straight. And then Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, Dansby Swanson should be a great lesson in arm strength. It's like a plus, but you do not need it at shortstop to be a amazing shortstop.
You need, I mean, arm strength is just more room for error. That's it. That's all that matters as a pitcher. And all that matters as a infielder, like, you have a little bit extra time and you got a little bit extra.
I don't care
whatever,
how
but
fast
it's all about,
you throw ball for.
Yeah, 100%. There you go. Nationals. They're the best. These guys had a hot June and July last year. And that was when the Reds fans were going nuts and they were telling everybody they're going to win the World Series. And this is the new big red machine. This team has a chance to be on the similar trajectory as the Orioles, but that they got to have some things go real, real right for that to happen. They got to have guys turn into Gunnar Henderson, to Adley Rutschman. The Orioles had guys that did it, that really have done it and turned themselves into bona fide superstars. Reds, they have the chance. Like, they have, there's talent there, but like, I agree with you, Jake. Like, they gotta go out and do it. Maybe that was what Jimmy said. I don't know. I agree with one of you guys that said that. 18-9 in June, 15-11 in July. Then they had a bad August, 10-17, man. They ended up 82-80 last year. there's a lot to like about this team. I think the bullpen, I know the bullpen numbers overall last year weren't great, but there's some dogs back there. Like, they have some guys that can really spin it. Speaking of, you know, Diaz, the other Diaz brother, or maybe he is the real Diaz brother.
Oh,
he can spin a slider up there. Like, they have guys that can get the job done in all the different spots on the roster. Like, they have what it takes, but we got to like see it for a year.
Yeah, look,
I think that's about the fairest assessment you can give this team is you guys got the talent, but can you go do it through 162?
Yeah, and I don't like that they don't have that much like veteran presence and stuff around or to lean on through tough times and all that shit. The other thing I don't like, and sorry, I'll find stuff I like afterwards, is they've been really bad against their division.
I just saw that, James.
Like, scares me because it's one of the weaker divisions in baseball. And last year they had a losing record to all the teams in the division. Besides the Cubs, I think they were close to 500, but lost them. And the year before that, they were 28-48 against the NL Central. Last year, they were 21-31. So they got to learn how to beat their familiar foes.
3-10 versus the Brew Crew.
Tell you what, if there's a division you can learn to beat your foes, give me a little Central. And
I
that's
like the Cubs getting better, Cardinals getting better. So
have the Cubs gotten better?
I like some of their guys.
So, I guess for me, and you know, it's the glass half full, glass half empty. I know I'm gonna get something out of this lineup and a chance for a lot. I've got a lot of young, talented guys that put up like Will Benson out hit a lot of big time major leaguers last year. Will Benson and Matt McClain had higher OPSs than Austin Riley, like Devers, like big time MLB guys last year. I know you got to put it together and start a career. That's how we learn your name and become those guys. But the fact that those are almost the bonus pieces of what are supposed to be leading this Reds team, I love it for the lineup. I guess for me, and I, again, this is where I still don't know where my glass fully is on it. Looking at their starting pitching ERA being 28th last year, in a way I can spin that as a good thing. Like, hey, we shouldn't be down there again, right, guys? Like, whether that's you believe in Montas, you believe in Lodolo or Green taking the jump, or, Trev, you talked about their depth. A lot of guys did get some starts for them last year, and a lot of those guys got pushed to depth pieces. Now, depth pieces, if you're not good depth pieces, and you're not really depth pieces, that I don't know. I think if almost anything clicks rotation-wise, and Jim, I know you mentioned Ashcraft and Abbott both had stretches last year where things did click. Like, they are one or two players from being, I think, like a very good baseball team. And I guess up until this point, I don't think we've been able to say that.
I'll give the stats on the Ashcraft and Abbott stats. What did I just say? Oh, my gosh. What a freaking sentence that was. Ashcraft's opposite day for these guys. Ashcraft's first 10 games, 991 OPS against him. Last 11 games, 701 with a 270 ERA. Abbott, first 10 starts, he was nasty. 184 opponents average, 581 OPS to a 1.9 ERA. Then his last 11 starts, 642 ERA, 919 OPS. Same thing with, like, you know, Elly De La Cruz, like he had a hot start. Like, this is all about can these guys make adjustments at the big league level. You've heard us talk about that so much because it's true. Like, the league figures out what you do right and what you do well, and then they go the opposite way, and they come at you with everything that you do poorly. So it's all about can they make the adjustment. If they are those guys, if they're that guy, pal, the Reds could be scary.
I do like that. The Ashcraft one, and I've liked him in the past because he was real bad in the first half, and he had to dig deep. He changed his pitch mix. He brought his cutter down to his slider way more. There was like more separation, and then he brought a third pitch in. Seemed like there was a breaking point in the start of July where he just
his slider's nasty.
Switched it up.
Boys throw the pill hard. But can he get outs?
I got a question.
Sure.
They signed Jonathan India 2 years. I think it just takes him through arbitration. typically teams looking to trade for a guy love cost control pieces. Like, is Jonathan India going to be on this team? Because they're talking about he's going to play some outfield in spring training. They're lengthening his stride so he can go out there and do this. Is he gone? And then you really have, you literally have no veteran leadership on a team. It sucks to put him in that role because he's only been there 3 or 4 years, 4 years, I think it is. But he's kind of like the veteran leader there. We talked about this on a previous episode of Talking Baseball. I feel like they can't trade him just because of that. Like, the shakeup in the clubhouse will be interesting, but there's no room for this guy. Like, where are you going to play him?
Again, for me, I see a good problem. We're talking about a guy that's hit pretty good at the big league level. I think it was last year, you know, he ended up being a league average hitter. But the fact you can't find a room for a league average hitter, I don't know. I mean, they could be two injuries in camp away from Jonathan India being their everyday five-hole hitter. Yeah. Or if something comes up, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's India and Jake Fraley. If you could package those two guys to a team that can almost get two starting players and you could get something for your lineup or your rotation. I don't know. I guess I'm not too worried about it. If third week in April, a big conversation is the Reds can't find at bats for Jonathan India. I that's still a good problem. It sucks for a guy that's, you know, kind of gone from what we think is the bad Reds to hopefully the good Reds, but it's the biz, baby.
He's only had 3 years. I'm sorry to correct myself. Like, I think of Jonathan India as like the mainstay vet on the Reds. He's just not, guys. He's just not. And James, you and I actually had a disagreement on him. Do you think he's ugly pirate? And I think he's like good looking pirate.
No, he let his hair go too far. It's a thing that all dudes with long hair, Jack Doyle did it for one tournament where, like, we watched the footage back and he was like, I needed a haircut. I'm like, yeah. Like, once it goes, like, flows past your shoulder, you now just have, like, Maggie Gyllenhaal hair, and I'm out on that. And it needs to be, like, dude flow. And he went too far. There was a couple shots of him where I was like, that's just my sister's hair. Unwashed and unkempt. And she looks awful when she does that.
Yeah, he's a polarizing figure on the hot boy list, for sure.
Hot. DraftKings, also hot. Why don't you guys get in on the action? Because they're giving you no sweat bet. What's that all about? Basically, you place a bet, probably on the NBA action that's rolling right now, and you can up to $1,000. If you don't get that bet right, you will get the amount of that bet back. Minimum deposit $5. Sign up using promo code TALKIN. They've got their DraftKings daily fantasy stuff as well. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers use promo code TALKIN and get a no sweat bet. That's promo code TALKIN only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
I have a fun fact for you guys, and this is a positive note on the Reds bullpen from last year.
Yes.
They inherited the most runners. 327 inherited runners for the Reds bullpen last year. And, I mean, they came into games with runners on the most in a landslide. 223 times a reliever got put into a game when there was a runner on base, wasn't his. So 223 and then 327. So a lot of times bases were loaded, bases had two guys on. The next is 197. So you're looking at 26 difference. They're pretty close after that. So you would think they're high in maybe inherited runners scored or percentage, just because, like, that's so many times. They're below average in inherited runners scoring percentage. So they got put to the test more than any other team. And on average, they're better than everyone else.
I like that. Okay.
Angels, you guys stink. All your inherited runners scored. In your face.
I think that's the...
Last, that's the worst team that wears red in the league.
Yeesh. I think that's the stat that everyone likes in the bullpen is inherited runner score. That's like what they hang their hat on. Like, if they come in and they save your ass, they feel fucking good about it. They're walking around peacocking in the clubhouse after that. Hey, you gonna buy me a beer, bro?
I took the Angels over, so I take back the red thing. Probably the Nationals, worst team that wears red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike could.
The draft over under
color jerseys
tomorrow
is interesting.
Just a graphic for
this one. For
socials.
DraftKings expects the Reds to improve by a half a game. 82.5 is the number here.
I'm going to take the under.
Wow.
I got to see it. I just think last year was crazy that they had 2 months where everyone was going off. And now we're going to get a whole year where, like, or more than that going off again when, like, sophomore slumps are more common than freshman flukes. You know, I've seen my share of Mike Tauchman's come up, take the league by storm.
Still is.
Yeah, but he went back down and back
down. Lead off for the Cubs. I'm obviously on the over. I see that the starting pitching numbers from last year as just an easy chance for this team to get better. If they can be the 20th team in starting pitching ERA next year, like that's a big leap for them. And I think the offense ends up there. And that's without Ellie becoming like a true star on the field. And maybe he is. And Noelvi is supposed to be that guy too. That I don't, the lineup's going to be there. If OPS plus was a stat, this was probably like a top five team last year. And OPS S plus on base plus slugging plus steals. But I just like that energy. I like that. So I'll go with it. The Central seems more open than it's been in past years. Go Reds, go.
I'm going to take the over because I want to root for the Reds, number one. Number two, I think they can improve their roster because they have trade pieces. I think they should trade Spencer Steer, just say. Doesn't really have a position, can bang, controllable. I think you can get a nice piece for him. And their payroll sucks. $84 million. Like, they have room to go out and, like, if they want, I know the ownership is not what the fans want, but if they wanted to take on salary, they easily could. So I'm looking for this team to trade to make their roster better, add payroll to make their roster better, and I want to root for this team. So I'm gonna take the over for sure.
Little kicker, like they did a lot more in free agency than people thought. Between Jamer, Montas, Nick Martinez, Pagan, like, I don't know, the Reds. A lot of small market stuff, a lot of people not happy with that ownership, and they did try to add to this. So, I don't know. Montas is as risky as a free agent signing as you'll see, but in a way they went for it.
He's going to win 20 games.
Might
he
as just, well.
He said that today as we record this.
Love that.
If he does that.
Yeah. That'd be bad.
Reds will have a big year.
Make me hey, Reds, win at home. Bad home record last year.
Let's bad home record. Bad record against the division. I mean, just...
That's beautiful.
Yeah, but the Brewers don't have counsel football anymore, so they're going to lose to the Cubs this year, not the Brewers. Which is the same.
Everyone have counsel!
What?
Cubs are going to go undefeated.
Subscribe. Thanks for subscribing.
That's how the Cubs got better, Jake. They got Craig Counsell.
You totally forgot about that.
Who's cooler from Wisconsin, Gavin Lux or Craig Counsell? Go.
Gavin Lux isn't even from Wisconsin. It's a trick.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Gavin Lux.
Mentally, Gavin's from wherever he wants to be from. Bora Bora.